is one. I taught on the mantle, feet washing, anointing in 1997. Now I'm going over it again. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Some guys don't know. I went for a service as a guest minister, and they were washing my feet. And I was laughing. The guy said, rejoice. I was laughing because he was sickling my leg. He said, rejoice. Your miracle is yours. I had reason to rejoice. At least someone was washing my feet. Hallelujah. So, when you have another interpretation, you say, well, everything is ours in Christ. And then he says, do you want power in your life? Do you want power in your life? Yes. Five ways to get power. Number one, want it. Number two, see it. Number three, hear of it. That is diverse teaching. Is that clear now? Okay. So, we are called to interpret the scriptures and interpret it properly. One of the things, I used to say this years back, and a friend of mine, he was telling me a couple of days ago, he said, now I know what you say in the 90s, that I fear religion more than the devil. I don't fear the devil at all. The devil is consistent. But you see, religion is not consistent. It can come even from word people. I'm telling you, religion is not consistent. Today, is this one the one? Is that one? Jesus. When I say religion, I'm talking about devotion. I'm talking about traditions. Now, watch this. How many of you know a tradition can stay for 2,000 years? Islam has been around for long. So don't say, but that's how it has been. Are you now trying to say that what our forefathers are doing? Glory to his name. Watch this now. So, whatever you teach must have the same explanation. Whether it's marriage, Paul says you marry in the Lord. Whether it is giving, when Paul was going to teach about marriage, he said Christ and the church. Consistent teaching. Giving. He said, know ye not the grace of our Lord Jesus. You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Even though he was rich, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be. He was teaching about giving. And he talked about Jesus' redemptive sacrifice. When he's talking about the gifts of the Spirit, it's the same thing. 1 Corinthians 12:3. Consistent explanation. Consistent. Hallelujah. Prayer. Same thing. Living right. Living right. You're not living right to God. It's not God that needs your living right. It is men. God justified you already. It's men. Hallelujah. So that's it. So, the teaching must be consistent. Or else, what you have are diverse doctrines. Doctrines of men, Colossians 2:22. Matthew 15:19. Doctrines of men. Is it 9 or 19? One of them. Doctrines of men. Doctrines of devils. Teachings. Diverse interpretations. And we have that today in charismatic circles. I went to a place to preach. So they were asking questions. And a lady who was a pastor there, I explained to them from Joel 3, where he says, let the weak say I'm strong. That statement is not a confession of faith. That statement is a mockery statement. Let the weak in the enemy camp say I'm strong. And we all saw it. We all looked at it. We all saw it. But they were so amazed when we read it in context. Because when you are not in contest, you are in contest. Neighbor saw it. I saw they were looking at it again. I wasn't reading. I said, read it yourself. Probably got another translation. I said, when we are two, let me know. So where is it? See, I understand this is what was written. This is very, very carefully. But can't the Holy Spirit use this verse for something else? Because the person was a pastor there, I wanted to respect her. I said, for example, is it not the Holy Spirit that inspired that? Say, yes, it's the Holy Spirit. Can he not I said, if you are going to do that, you will have to add another book to the Bible. Say, but the Holy Spirit can minister to me through that verse and misinterpret what he said. I said, okay. So I turned to the pastor because she is his wife. I said, if I quote 1 Corinthians 3:21, all things are mine. I said, including your wife. How? Said, ah! But that's the Holy Spirit. That one got to him. No wife matter. The serious matter. I said, yeah. So they got my message, right? That was a good way to explain. So when you look at the subject of baptism, hallelujah. Let me say it as a caveat. I am not against what you do with water and your body. Whatever river you go, Ogun River, Osun River, Jordan, you can even go far as Jordan. I'm not against that. Or swimming pool, or even your bathtub. No. But I'm just here to explain the Word of God. Hallelujah. I was baptized by water, 1989, at Eleyele Jericho. And when I was baptized, they asked me for a baptismal name. And I picked Christian. That is why I bear Chris. So you can see that great things came out of water. However, let's examine the scripture in a very simple way. Okay? Now, the basic Bible interpretation that I've been taught, and I believe is effective, they call it a sevenfold principle of interpreting or establishing doctrine. If you read the Bible very well, the Bible always is against a single reference to judge a matter. 2 Corinthians 13:1 and 2 says, out of the mouth of two or three witnesses, let every word be established. Alright? So, it shows that the Bible is particular about having a consistent evidence before you establish a truth. However, some Bible scholars have said there are seven ways you can look at a Bible teaching. The first thing they said is you must find it in the book of Genesis. For something to be consistently said and taught, it must be found in the book of Genesis in a germ form. Germ, G-E-R-M. There you'll find it in the law of Moses, basically from Exodus down to about Deuteronomy. Also in a type and a shadow. Second thing. The third thing they said, and which extends to the judges and all that, the kings, you must find it in the Psalms. In the Psalms. In the sacred songs of David. His prophecies. Also they said you must find it in the prophets. The prophets. The prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Malachi, Zechariah. There you'll find it in the four Gospels, in the explanations of Jesus. They say you also find it in the book of Acts, in the pattern of the church. And then finally, and most importantly, you will see it in the epistles, well explained. So, everybody agrees that the epistles are for clarity and explanation of the scriptures. The epistles explain the Bible to us. That's why you find that the Genesis to Malachi are referred to as the scriptures. The four gospels are called eyewitness accounts. The book of Acts are historical documents as well. Eyewitness account. But it is only the epistles that were called revelation or doctrine. So, whatever you will believe must be founded where? Huh? You'll find it in the epistles. So, anything that is not well taught, instructed in the epistles is a dangerous belief system. Note that. Next week, consequently, and subsequently, I will be explaining that in detail. Like I said, we want to look at baptism and the communion table. All right, come on. Look at this. So that's it. The word baptism or baptize. We're going to look at it. The word baptize is used 81 times. 81 times. And out of the 81 times, 90% refers to one person, John. Out of the 81 times, that well over 70 times, or about 70 times, refers to just one person. In fact, even when he's not talking about him, he's also mentioned a couple of times. 81 times. Now, quickly, I'll just give you the references and you. In the four Gospels, pay attention to this, this is vital. In the four Gospels, the word baptized is used 48 times. 48 times. The four Gospels, that's Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. 48 times. In the book of Acts, 21 times. 21. In the book of Acts, 21 times. Book of Acts. So we have how many left? 69 out of 81. Just about 12. Right? Okay. Now in Romans, you have it two times. All in Romans 6. Two times. All in Romans 6. And that's important. So note that. In 1 Corinthians, you have it six times. No, not six times, sorry. In 1 Corinthians 1, you have it six times. That is, in the epistles, is the largest concentration of the word baptized in the entire epistle. And it's 1 Corinthians 1. You see how important that is as we go further. In 1 Corinthians 10:2, it was used for Moses, the sea, and the Jews. Historical. Then 1 Corinthians 12:13. Then 1 Corinthians 15:29, two times. Then Galatians 3:27. The word baptized. Now pay attention, this is vital. The largest use of that word is either found in Matthew 3, or the highest, sorry, Matthew 3, Mark 1, John 1, and Luke 3. You know where? That was John's baptism. The highest use of the words. John's baptism. So, baptized 81 times. Now you have baptism. Baptism or baptism. Baptism is used 21 times. 2-1. 21 times baptism. Okay, before we go further, let's go to 1 Corinthians 1. I just need you to read this. This is vital. 1 Corinthians 1. Verse 13. I said it's used six times. So watch how it is used. Is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Were you baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God I baptized none of you. Can you imagine? He's grateful he didn't baptize any of them. But Crispus and Gaius. Lest any of you should say that I baptized in my own name. And I baptized also the household of Stephanus. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. I mean, so, look at how Paul is talking about it. I can't remember. See, I'm grateful to God that I did not get involved. That's what he said. Look at 17. Let's take 17 together. Mark that one in your Bible because it's coming out later. What he meant, we're going to go in. Christ sent me not to what? But to what? It seems to seem that baptism and preaching are cross purposes. He said, I can't even remember where I baptized anybody. He said, well, I'm trying to react. He said, this is a church of thousands. Stephanus, Christmas, I can't. Say, I thank God I didn't go further. Hallelujah. Are you following? So I wanted you to read that. Because I just told you that in the epistles, that was where baptized was used most. Hallelujah. Okay. So let's get back to the word baptism. In the four gospels, baptism was used 12 times. Okay, sorry, baptism, sorry, was used 21 times from Matthew's gospel down to book of Revelation. So you have 21 times. In the four gospels, you have it. Four gospels, you have it 12 times, already over half. All right. In the book of Acts, 6 times. Baptism, of which you will find it in Acts 19, 3 and 4. Let's look at that. Acts 19, 3 and 4. Acts 19, 3 and 4. Soon and very soon. And he said unto them, unto what were you baptized? And then they said, unto John's baptism. Even though Paul never met John. Then said Paul, John verily baptized with the baptism of repentance, saying unto the people that they should believe on him that should come after him, that is on Christ Jesus. So note that. That is going to come out soon. Maybe not today, but. So, in the four gospels, 12. In the epistles, I'm sorry, go back 6 times. Now look at the epistles. Romans 6, 4. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, like Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You don't need a theologian to let you know that's not talking about water. Ephesians 4, 5. Epistles. Ephesians 4, 5. Are you there? Let's take it together. One Lord. One faith. One baptism. So we have what? We have one. One what? One what? Baptism. Excellent. 1 Peter 3:21. The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us, not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, Peter here is making a distinction between using water to take away the filth of the flesh, but by the answer of a good conscience towards God, talking about faith towards God, and of the resurrection of Jesus Christ. So, note. So, Peter makes a distinction there that we're going to also examine. Alright, now, you'll find another place where the word baptism was used, but it's not the same thing. Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6. Hebrews 6, 2. Now Hebrews 6, 1 says, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on to perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works or faith towards God, or of the teaching of baptisms. Now that word is washings. Washings. Obviously, what he's referring to there is different. You see now. Washings. That word, that's the same word, baptimos, talking about washings. It's a ceremonial cleansing used in the tabernacle, or sorry, say the temple. In Mark 7, 4 and 8, Jesus used it. Mark 7, 4 and 8. Mark 7, 4 and 8. And when they come from the market, except they wash, they eat not. And many other things there be which have received to old, they have received to old, as the washing of cups and pots and brazen vessels and other tables. Verse 8. Laying aside the commandment of God, you hold the traditions of men as the washing of pots and cups and many other such like things you do. That's what Hebrews 6:2 was referring to. Washings. Colossians 2:12. Buried with him in baptism, wherein also you were risen with him through the faith of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. So mark this. This is coming out later. Hebrews 9:10. I told you, when you see a word in a letter, you first look at the use where. Huh? So when it says the doctrine of baptism in Hebrews 6:2, Hebrews 9:10 now repeats it. Let's take Hebrews 9:10 together. Hebrews 9:10. Let's start from 9. Hebrews 9:10. I'll wait for you. Ready? Let's go. Which was a figure for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifices, that could not make him that did the service perfect, as pertaining to the conscience. Verse 10. Which stood only in meats and drinks, divers washings. So, can you see why baptisms were used in plural? Divers baptisms, talking about the washings of the elements of the temple. Is that clear? Is that clear? Right. So, Hebrews 9:10 explains Hebrews 6:2. So, the teaching of baptism in Hebrews 6:2 refers to the temple, the use of washings in the temple of Moses. Is that clear? Is that clear? Come on, guys. Is that clear? So again, let's look at the... Was there baptism in the Old Testament? Was there ever baptism in the Old Testament? Well, Leviticus 13 to 15 talked about cleansing. Cleansing. You have cleansing of women who were through with childbirth, and then cleansing of lepers. Leviticus 13 to 15. Washings. And they were done for purification. They were ceremonial purification. Leviticus 13 to 15. Women after childbirth and then lepers. So we don't have anywhere where baptism was done there. So, where else do we have? We have Ezekiel 16, verse 9. Ezekiel 16, verse 9. Praise the Lord. Let's take that together. Ezekiel 16, verse 9. Then washed I thee with water. Yea, I thoroughly washed thy away thy blood from thee, and I anointed thee with oil. Now, is this symbolic or literal? Huh? He has to be symbolic. Said, I wash your blood. Now, not difficult to know. Ezekiel 36. Tap that brother. Ah, bro. You're a man you found. Oh. Ezekiel 36. Verse 26. Let's start from 25. Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean. From your filthiness and from your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you, and I'll take away the stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. So, where was he going to cleanse them? The body or the heart? How was he going to do it? By his? So, water there referred to what? His spirit. Are we on the same page? Are we on the same page on that? Oh, good. So, Ezekiel 16, 9 definitely will be symbolic of His Spirit. So, can we say Ezekiel 16:9 was referring to salvation? Huh? Or the new birth? Okay, good. So, another place you'll find baptism will be, so it was used in the temple to cleanse, because women, you know, because of blood and things like that, so it was significant for them to cleanse them symbolically. And then the lepers. Leviticus 13 to 15. Then you had Ezekiel, which definitely was symbolic. God was speaking. There was a prophecy about the new birth. Now, one other place will be 2 Kings 5. Not too nice a place, but then is there a Naaman the leper. 2 Kings 5. You're not going to call that baptism, really, but looks like it. Verse 1 to 14. When Naaman was sick, and then he was to dip himself 7 times in Jordan to be healed. So, outside this, you will find no other place. So it's interesting that water baptism is not an Old Testament practice. Are you following? Is that clear to you? Is that clear? It's not an Old Testament practice. Cleansing and purification of men and then vessels of ministry was Old Testament practice. But water baptism, to put people in water and bring them out, is not an Old Testament practice. Naaman the leper was given an instruction by the prophet for healing. Is that clear? Let me see how this is. Are you following this? Are you following? Thank you. So, definitely the only person that can bail us out will be John the Baptist. So, let's investigate John. John, we call him John the Baptist. But I dare say, and I know John, you know this is true, he doesn't like that name. He prefers John the Prophet. How would you call someone the Baptist? And then, what does he baptize with? Water. That's not nice. John was never, go look at the prophecies about him. None of them included water. And I'm going to show you that soon. In Matthew's Gospel chapter 3, verse 2. Okay, let's stop. Oh, you have a problem with that? Huh? How many of you believe that John was a prophet? Raise your hand well. How many prefer to refer to him as the Baptist? No, but really, he was the only prophet that was called John. So, he was the only prophet that was called John. Hallelujah. And Jesus never called him John the Baptist. Jesus referred to him as a prophet. Is that clear? Hallelujah. Alright. Look at this. Matthew's Gospel 3 verse 2. In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. So he's preaching, the kingdom of heaven is here. You'll find the same reference quickly in Mark's Gospel 1:3, Luke's Gospel 3:4, John's Gospel 1:23. Then look at verse 3 quickly. Matthew 3. For this is he that was spoken of the prophet Isaiah, saying, the voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord. Make his path straight. So, John's ministry was to show Christ. That was his ministry. His ministry was to show Christ. to make his path straight. In Luke's Gospel 1:76, where his father prophesied, Zechariah prophesied about him. Look at what the father said by prophecy. Luke 1:76. And thou child, Luke 1:76. And thou child, I'll wait for you quickly. This is important. Are you there? Let's go. And thou child shall be called the prophet of the highest. For thou shalt go before the face of the Lord to prepare his ways. Alright? To give knowledge of salvation unto his people. Now, 77 is now talking about Jesus. By the remission of their sins. Through the tender mercy of our God, whereby the day spring from on high has visited us. To give light to them that sit in darkness, in the shadow of death, to guide our feet in the way of peace. So, verse 77 to 79 is speaking about Jesus. So, he will make that plain to men. He will show Jesus. John's ministry was to show Jesus. Go back to Matthew 3. So, what was John in the scriptures? A prophet. Right? Okay, Matthew 3, 6. Verse 6. Now many people were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. Confessing their sins. Now quickly look at verse 11. If you miss verse 11, you now come for this service. Let's read it together. Wait, I did what? What is repentance? To turn your attention to another. Okay? So let's go again. Let's go. He shall baptize you. So he's making a distinction, right? I baptize with water. He baptizes what? The Holy Ghost. So, you see that in Mark 1:8. In Mark 1:8, Mark doesn't have the word fire. Luke 3:16-17, Luke adds fire. John 1:33-34, John does not add fire. So, wait. John says, Christ is greater than me. I baptize with water. He baptizes with what? So which is greater? Water or the Holy Ghost? Water or the Holy Ghost? Water or the Holy Ghost? Okay, we heard that from John the Baptist himself. Good. Now, look at Jesus' commentary about that. Acts 1. Four to five. This is very vital. Let's take that together. Acts 1, 4 to 5. Let's go. Yeah, I'll wait for you. Let's go. And being assembled together with them, this is Jesus, commanded them that they should not what? Okay, let's start again. I want everybody to read this. I'll wait for you. Let's go. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which said he, you have heard of me. Verse 5. Stop. John did what? John did what? John did what? Now finish it up. But you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. Is that clear? Is that clear? So, was Jesus asking water baptism and that of the Holy Ghost to be walking side by side? This is Jesus. Do you know that Jesus said exactly what John said? Hallelujah. Okay. So, note this is a very key text So never forget John's ministry. Go back to Matthew 3. In Matthew 3, Jesus now came to him. I've heard people say, but Jesus was baptized by John. I know. Jesus goes to the same Jordan. Now, before now, what did we read was the ministry of John? Huh? To what? Through what? No. Why did you jump to say that? He is a prophet. His work is to say, this is the Christ. That is work. Nobody who prophesied is coming mentioned water. It's his work. So, Jesus goes to Jordan. And he goes to Jordan. Why did he go to Jordan? Because Jesus knew what the ministry of John was. Pay attention here. Then verse 13, Jesus comes from Galilee to Jordan unto John to be baptized of him. Then John stopped him. He forbade him. He said, I need to be baptized of thee. Why are you coming to me? Why did he say that? I need you to baptize me. Why are you coming to me? Now, Jesus now says, suffer it to be so now. That is right now. For thus it becomes us to fulfill all righteousness. Who are the us?
Oh my God.
Who are the us? Did he say it is important for you and I to do all righteousness? Us. Why? Because you are my forerunner. Jesus did not go to John's baptism to be endorsed by John. It is to endorse John. Are you following? Who is the greater? Did John's baptism make Jesus anything? No. Are you listening? Are you listening? So, he said, to fulfill all righteousness. What righteousness? To fulfill the words of the prophets. And since this is your ministry, I'll come here. So, he came to his ministry. That was John's apostolic headquarters. Jesus came there. So, what did he do? John, now, please follow this. And when he was baptized, he went up straight away to the water, and lo, the heavens were opened unto him, and he saw, that's John, the Spirit of God descending on him like a dove, and lighting upon him, and lo, a voice from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, hear him. So, when he said, to fulfill all right. Now, quickly, there are two places I want you to study with this. I'll just give it to you. We'll go to one now. Mark 1, 9 and 10. The same thing. Luke 3, 21 and 22. The same. Just study those accounts. Now, there's one account that I told you when you have four accounts, you read everything together. There's one account that gave a detail that the other three did not. And that was John. Go to John 1. Let me go over it again. When people were coming to John's baptism, they were confessing what? Their sins. Good. John 1. Verse 24. And they which were sent were of the Pharisees, and they asked him and said, why are you baptizing then, if you be not the Christ, nor Elijah, neither the prophet? And John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you know not. Hallelujah. Are you following? For it is who coming after me is preferred before me, whose shoe latcheth I am not worthy to unloose. These things were done in Bethabara, beyond Jordan, where John was baptizing. Let's take verse 29 together. The next, John, seeing Jesus coming unto him, said, behold, that takes away. Are you listening? This happened before the baptism. Behold, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, after me comes a man which is preferred before me, for he was before me, and I knew him not, but that he should be made manifest to Israel. Therefore am I come, what? Oh, do you get it? John was baptizing with water. To do what? Huh? No. To what? He was his cousin. To what? Okay, let's take it gradually. To show Jesus. Let's stop at that one. To show Jesus. Alright, good. So let's leave it like that. So he says, therefore am I come baptizing with water. John bore record saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and it abode upon him. And I knew him not, but he that sent me to baptize with water, the same said unto me, upon whom thou shalt see the Spirit descending and remain on him, the same is he which baptizes with what? The Holy Ghost. So, John is clear about the distinction between himself and Jesus. I baptize with water. He with the Holy Ghost. We're going to see later, John said, I decrease, he will increase. As we study, you will find out that the baptism of water ought to have stopped when Jesus was baptized. That was when John's ministry ended. You will see that as we study. So, John's baptism was to end with Jesus. He had fulfilled all righteousness. That was his purpose. Now, did Jesus ever ask anybody to be baptized with water? Matthew's Gospel 28. Verse 18. All power in heaven and earth is given me, in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. I believe I've taught you this before. All right? What this means and what it should not mean. But baptizing them here in verse 20 is teaching them. It never implied water because it said teaching. So put that somewhere. Mark's Gospel 16:15. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and his what? It is he that believes and you shall baptize. He that believes and he is baptized shall be saved. So he's equating believing with what? Believing with being baptized shall be saved. No. Go to John 3:22. This is a very important part. John 3:22. Hurry up, please. This is right. After these things came Jesus and his disciples unto the land of Judea. And there he tarried with them and baptized. This is why, this is what I'm saying. Jesus baptized. Seriously? Right? And then John also was baptizing in Anion near to Salim. Because there was much water there, and they came and were baptized. John was not yet cast into prison. Then verse 25. Then there arose a question between some of John's disciples and the Jews about purifying. And they came unto John and said unto him, Rabbi, he that was with thee beyond Jordan, to whom you bear witness, behold, the same baptizes, and all men come to him. He said, look, the fellow you baptize is also doing his own. And people come to him. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given from heaven. You yourself bear witness, and I said, I am not the Christ, but that I am sent before him. He that hath the bride is the bridegroom. But the friend of the bridegroom, which stands and hears him, rejoices greatly because of the bridegroom's voice, which my joy, therefore he is fulfilled. He must increase, but I must decrease. He that comes above is above all. He that is of the earth is earthly, and speaks of the earth. He that comes from the heaven, he is above all. And what he hath seen and heard, that he testifies, and no man receives his testimony. He that receives his testimony hath God sent to his seal that God is true. For whom God hath sent speaks the words of God. For God gives not the Spirit by measure. The word unto him isn't there. 35. The Father loves who? Huh? And hath given all things into what? His hand. Let's take 36 together. He that believes on the Son hath everlasting life. He that believes not the Son shall not see life. But the wrath of God abides. This was John speaking about Jesus. Look at chapter 4. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus had made and baptized more disciples than John. Let's take two together. You know, imagine if you had stayed with John 3:22. Jesus himself didn't baptize anybody. So, who was baptizing? His disciples. It's the same thing with oil. Jesus never used oil. But his disciples used oil. Mark's Gospel 6. Mark's Gospel 6. Verse 7. He called unto him the 12, and began to send them forth by 2 and 2, gave them power over unclean spirits. That's the word authority. Let's take verse 8 together. Huh? Mark 6, and he commanded them that they should take nothing for their journey, save a staff only, no crib, no bread, no money in their purse, short with sandals, and not put on two clothes. But what did they do? Verse 12. And they went out and preached that men should repent, and they cast out many devils and anointed with oil many that were sick and healed them. He told them not to take anything, but they took oil. That apart, anyway. He gave them power, but they went with oil. Jesus never had none. Hallelujah. So, why didn't Jesus baptize? I'll close here. Why did he baptize with oil? With what? John told you that he will baptize with the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. So, I'm going to ask again. Did Jesus ask anyone to baptize with water? I'm asking. Did Jesus ask anyone to be baptized with water? No. Did he stop anyone from being baptized with water? Huh? Excellent. You're thinking now. Did he baptize anybody with water? Did he stop anyone from being baptized with water? Did he ask anyone to baptize others with water? Thank you. So go to 1 Corinthians 1. Oh,
Hope you have learned something. 1 Corinthians 1. We read that earlier. Verse 14. I thank God that I baptized none of you. This is Paul. For Crispus and Gaius. Lest any of you should say that I baptized in my name. My own name. I baptized also the household of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. So, it seems in Paul's reach like a negligible thing. Very negligible. I can't remember whether I baptized anybody. I can't. Did I? In fact, he said, I thank God. Imagine saying, I thank God I baptized none of you. I'm grateful to God that I baptized none of you. Verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with the wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. We're going to examine that later. How those practices, when handled the way some do today, will make the work of redemption of no effect. Because the work of redemption had replaced things, practices, and ceremonies. So, let's close with these words. John baptized with water, not Jesus. Baptism with water did not precede John. John started the baptism with water, and Jesus brought the baptism with the Holy Ghost. So, obviously, without shadow of doubt, baptism of water, just like John, as a prophet, was to point us to the baptism with the Holy Ghost. Let me see if that's clear to you. To be baptized with water does not make you offend God. Neither does it make you a believer. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're not baptized with water, does it take anything out of your faith? Huh? Not at all. In no way. Glory to God. In Christ today, do we have two baptisms? You'll find out as we study. Have you been blessed this morning? Lift your hands, let's worship God. Give Him praise.